Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, July 21st, 2015. The IGAD Plus mediation team for South Sudan meets for the first time behind closed doors in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa.
The agenda for today, according to Ambassador Siyum, is the document that has been prepared by the mediators as a compromise document for the warring parties in South Sudan.
And a South Sudan government spokesman warns that Kiir administration will not sign any agreement with new conditions.
There is no way for us to accept anything new other than what was agreed. Anything that is new and not acceptable will not be accepted by the government of South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A lot of hope is riding on the expanded mediation team known as IGAD Plus and what it can do to end 19 months of fighting in South Sudan. IGAD Plus is made up of the United States, Norway, and the United Kingdom, the United Nations, the European Union, the African Union, China, and five African countries. Mediators from all those countries and groups are in Addis Ababa, where IGAD Plus held its first meeting today on the South Sudan peace process. Iskander Freo spoke with South Sudan in Focus editor Karen Zaivogo about the meeting and the hopes that are riding on it.
Opening the meeting today, Chief IGAD mediator, former Ethiopian Foreign Minister Ambassador Siyum Mesfen said, "We are now IGAD Plus." The agenda for today, according to Ambassador Siyum, is the document that has been prepared by the mediators as a compromise document for the warring parties in South Sudan. A summary of this document was given to the warring parties a month ago. Now, IGAD handed over the comprehensive document to the IGAD Plus members.
And so this document is going to be then handed over to the negotiators for the government of South Sudan, for Riek Machar's opposition group, and to representatives of the group of 10 former detainees.
That's the plan, Karen. Today, the mediators are discussing the document with the IGAD Plus members. Ambassador Siyum was saying during the opening that they will welcome any suggestion from the IGAD Plus members regarding the document.
What is in the document? We have an idea because the negotiating parties were given a draft of the document when they were in Addis Ababa in June. Has anything been added? Is anything key in there? Is there anything new in the document?
Yeah. The document is basically a compromise agreement document to be implemented over a period of 33 months. It talks about transitional government arrangement, permanent ceasefire, and transitional security arrangement, and about other areas. The document given to the warring parties when they were in Addis in June was a summary of this, comprehensive document given today to the IGAD Plus countries. But this is a document talking about the transitional government of national unity in South Sudan, the permanent ceasefire and transitional security arrangements. This compromise document provides for the South Sudan government to maintain the positions of president and vice president and 53% of ministerial portfolios, and STPLMA in opposition will get the new position of first vice president and 33% of ministerial portfolios.
And have you had any feedback from any of the members of IGAD Plus on this new document, on this new compromise agreement that we hope will bring peace to South Sudan?
Not yet, but we already know what the warring parties think about this document, what their reaction is, You remember the opposition chief negotiator Tabandengai dismissing the document immediately because he says the document, you know, keeps the status quo in South Sudan. I mean, President Salva Kiir will maintain his position and will also have 53% of ministerial portfolios. He will be commander-in-chief of the South Sudan Army during the part of the transitional period because, I mean, according to the document, the army of the government and the forces of SCPLM-A in opposition shall be under a single command within 18 months. And after the 18 months of the national, the transitional government, it will be Salva Kiir who will be, you know, commander-in-chief of the unified army. So because of these reasons, the SCPLM-A in opposition did not accept the document, but they said they can negotiate on it.
So there is a little bit of hope that on Friday, when the document is handed over to the three negotiating parties for South Sudan, that we might move forward towards peace.
Sure. We are not sure what, you know, the IGAD Plus will add to this document, in fact, Karen, because this is the first time they will have a say as mediators, you know, especially countries like the United States, China, Great Britain, the European Union, and all the other international actors will be having their say on this document. And we don't know what the final outcome will be. But if things go according to plan, as you said, maybe there is hope for peace in South Sudan.
That was a Skander Freo in Addis Ababa, where the IGAD Plus mediation team held its first meeting today on the South Sudan peace process. He was speaking to Karen Zivable. South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makui says the government team will leave for Addis Ababa later this week to begin work on the latest round of peace talks. Waki Simon Wudu has more for VOA from Juba.
Makwe says the government team is slated to leave Thursday for Addis after receiving an invitation from representatives of the IGAD Plus initiative. He says IGAD's new timetable is calling for a final comprehensive peace agreement to be signed by both leaders on August 17. Makwe confirms negotiators from both sides will gather in Addis on Friday when IGAD Plus will present a draft agreement to the two parties. Makwe says terms of the draft agreement must be signed by both sides in order to proceed to the final stage.
If the draft agreement meets the expectations of the two parties and the people of South Sudan, then definitely it will be signed. Otherwise, if it doesn't meet the expectations, then there will be no way for us to continue that way.
Makwe warns the government will not be prepared to sign any new language inserted into the draft agreement.
There is no way for us to accept anything new other than what was agreed. Anything that is new and not acceptable will not be accepted by the government of South Sudan.
Talks between the government and rebels loyal to Riek Machar collapsed in March after President Kiir and Machar failed to meet an IGAD-imposed deadline and sign a permanent agreement. At that time, the rebels demanded that there be two separate armies during the transitional government of national unity. They also wanted South Sudan to adopt a federal system of government, something the Kiir administration opposes. Makwe says it will be unfortunate if these same demands are inserted into the IGAD Plus draft agreement.
This issue of the federal system is a task of the National Constitutional Review Commission. As for the two armies, it is a situation that we are not accepting.
James Okuk is a political science lecturer at the University of Juba and a regular commentator on South Sudan issues. He says considering these recent developments from the two parties, there is little hope they will sign a comprehensive peace agreement this time around.
If you see Dr. Riek Machar on that side, he's already forming his own government. He's appointing new commissioners. For example, he appointed a new commissioner of oil sector last 2 weeks. And he's appointing more civil administration on his side. So that means he's preparing his own government. The other side here in Juba, the government is preparing to do a reshuffle.
Okok believes the international community should apply more pressure by imposing sanctions on both parties if they fail to sign a final agreement in August. And he says those sanctions should not only target military leaders, but include politicians as well. And Okuk says the sanctions should be extended to other sectors, such as barring the South Sudan government from selling its crude on the open market. Okuk says it is time for the president and Machar to feel the pressure and compromise in order to prevent the country from experiencing more economic and political damage.
The best thing for both sides up to now is just for them to give the concession, whatever. If it is federalism, let them come to a middle ground. If it is not now, let them agree to where to implement it. Or let them agree to put it to referendum. Okay, both sides, they say, okay, let's sign it and say that, let it be put to referendum so that the people decide. The army issue, yes, they can also try to reach to some concession. Perhaps sometime this is where you propose that an outside force can come and help.
The talks this time do include some outside help. The new EGAD Plus initiative incorporates the African Union, the United Nations, the European Union, China, and the so-called Troika, the United States, Britain, and Norway. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wodo in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, HIV and stigma in Africa. We'll bring that story right when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's the best advice you've ever gotten?
My parents used to tell me that respect yourself, respect others, and love your nation, and do something good for it. So this advice is actually important, and I hope I will keep doing it.
I think it's from my mom. She told me never to ask anything from a guy when I was young. You know, like we girls, when we are growing up, you have expectations, you want this, you want that. So she told me if I ever want anything, I do not hesitate telling her. I think that's the best for me because it has helped me to move on. It has helped me to not ask things from guys.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. Today, we are talking about African women and HIV. New research shows that more than 30 years into the HIV/AIDS epidemic, African women living with the HIV still face much stigma and discrimination. The study says it is affecting efforts to prevent mother-to-child transmission of the AIDS virus. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports from Washington.
The community-led research was commissioned by the World Health Organization and done in Kenya, Namibia, and Nigeria. The study was conducted by the International Community of Women Living with HIV, or ICW, and the Global Network of People Living with HIV. Margaret Happy is an ICW advocacy officer based in Kampala, Uganda. She says stigma and discrimination in healthcare settings is hampering efforts to scale up early infant diagnosis of HIV.
The stigma is still existing, one, because of information. When I talk about information, it is a two-way. Information for the service providers, but also information for us as the community of people living with HIV, and in this case, I'm going to focus on the woman living with HIV.
Happy says despite current information about HIV prevention efforts, many healthcare providers and employees in Africa fail to acknowledge it. For example, the use of antiretroviral drugs to prevent infection.
They already know that treatment is prevention, although most of them have heard that if someone is on HIV treatment, is on ART treatment, he or she is less infectious. They still think that provided someone has been tested HIV positive, the person can still infect them. So due to lack of information, due to limited information by health service providers, they still have that stigma.
But she also says there's an attitude problem among many healthcare workers.
the negative attitude, the negative perception by health service providers also fuels stigma.
One Nigerian woman said in the report that instead of talking to her, nurses shouted and laughed at her because of her HIV status. Happy says pregnant women are often surrounded by relatives when they go to healthcare facilities or are giving birth. The relatives may not know the woman is HIV positive until health workers test the child for HIV.
It causes differential treatment, or it even causes violence, separation, divorce. And now the situation is worse by also the legal environment, which is not enabling. The legal environment which criminalizes a disease, which criminalizes HIV, for instance, in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, and other countries.
Happy says HIV-positive women often impose stigma upon themselves because of their economic dependence on men, either as daughters, partners, or spouses. Fear of separation, divorce, or violence can prevent women from disclosing their HIV status. The report is entitled Early Infant Diagnosis: Understanding the Perceptions, Values, and Preferences of Women Living with HIV in Kenya, Namibia, and Nigeria. It was released at the 8th International AIDS Society Conference on HIV Pathogenesis, Treatment, and Prevention in Vancouver, Canada. The World Health Organization is considering new recommendations based on the study. One would be to test infants born to women living with HIV at birth, and then again 4 to 6 weeks later. Supporters say this would reduce a woman's anxiety about her baby's health. Another recommendation would be to teach the women how to care for and feed the infant early on. The report also calls for women living with HIV to be provided with information about testing options, to give them time to make an informed choice about when to test. The ICW says the choice must be respected and the human rights of the mother protected. UNICEF, the UN Children's Fund, says about 900 children are newly infected with HIV every day, nearly all of them in sub-Saharan Africa. It says 57% of pregnant women living with HIV received antiretrovirals to prevent the virus from being transmitted to their babies. But UNICEF also says only 35% of infants born to HIV-positive mothers in low- and middle-income countries were tested for the virus within the first 2 months of life. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
Turning to Nairobi now, Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta says security and trade will top the agenda during U.S. President Barack Obama's visit to the country this week. VOA's Gabe Joslo reports that during an address to the nation, the Kenyan president ignored more controversial issues, including the International Criminal Court charges against his deputy and an outcry over gay rights.
Speaking from State House in Nairobi Tuesday, President Kenyatta said security and investment go hand in hand, and both will be discussed during Mr. Obama's visit. President Obama is coming to Kenya to co-host the Global Entrepreneurship Summit along with the Kenyan president and to hold bilateral meetings. Relations between the two countries have been strained in the past due to international criminal court charges against President Kenyatta and his deputy William Ruto for their alleged roles in orchestrating the violence that followed the 2007 election. Mr. Kenyatta said Mr. Obama's visit is a sign of strong ties between the two countries.
All I can say is that those who have doubted the strength of the partnership and friendship between our two countries or the depth of our engagement had better re-examine those assumptions.
Charges against President Kenyatta have been dropped while Ruto and another defendant continue to face trial. The Kenyan president said Ruto will not be excluded from meetings with the American president.
Last I recall, the deputy president was part of this government, so we shall all be meeting and proceeding with what we need to do.
While some politicians in Kenya have raised concerns that President Obama will bring a gay rights agenda with him to Kenya following the U.S. Supreme Court ruling protecting gay marriage, Mr. Kenyatta said this is a non-issue and said it was not part of the agenda for talks. Mr. Kenyatta also emphasized the importance of the Entrepreneurship Summit, which he said promotes Kenya's reputation for innovation and enterprise.
This is the very first time the summit has come to sub-Saharan Africa. And I strongly believe in its choice of Kenya. The GES acknowledges the progress and potential of our nation and its leadership on the continent.
He said Kenya could benefit from increased investment in infrastructure, healthcare, and manufacturing. President Obama is expected to attend the summit during the weekend and to deliver a public address before traveling on to Ethiopia. Gabe Josselow, VOA News, Nairobi.
South Sudan will be represented at the Global Entrepreneurship Summit, which will be held this week in Nairobi. Two South Sudanese businessmen will be attending the summit in Kenya, where President Obama will address entrepreneurs, investors, and business leaders from around Africa. The South Sudanese participants say they hope to learn how to shift South Sudan's economy from one that is driven by the government to a private sector-led economy. Philip Thonaleu has the story for VOA from Juba.
Simon Akwinedeng is excited about the five-day summit in Nairobi. The head of South Sudan's Chamber of Commerce, Deng, says he hopes to increase his knowledge and skills, particularly on sustainable development. Deng says he also hopes to learn how to change the economic structure in South Sudan from one that relies on the government and on a single industry, oil, to one that will help to drive development and employment.
When it is driven by government, the economy cannot be sustainable. Because once the oil dry up, it will be difficult. And also, the government employment is limited. It is not like the private sector opportunities. So you cannot employ more people. And paying taxes as well is a private sector agenda to support the government. And also, the citizens of South Sudan in general.
The Global Entrepreneurship Summit, or GES, is the sixth meeting of its kind. The past was held in Washington in 2010. Deng says he has high expectations that what he brings home from the summit in Nairobi will benefit the wider South Sudanese community.
If you look at Obama coming to Nairobi to come and discuss Global Entrepreneurship Summit, it is not a head of state summit. It is totally an entrepreneurship summit. So for us, we should extract that word, the entrepreneurship. It is through entrepreneurship that we can develop our economy. There is no any other shortcut. So we should learn this example and adopt it as well.
Somas Monto is the other South Sudanese attending the summit. Monto is the founder and chairman of the Youth Technology Development Organization, or YTDO, which aims to empower young people by teaching them useful skills.
Currently, we are training youth on mobile phone repair and ICT program and computer repair. So we encourage each of the youth who come to our training that we are not training you to become a job seeker, we are training you to be a job creator, which means that after we give you the training, we need you to go and create your own business. No matter how small it is, but you have to have your starting point of yourself.
Mundo says the invitation to attend the GES in Nairobi is recognition of South Sudan's potential as a global business destination.
We are celebrating our fourth independence this year. We are still 4 years. If we are taken as a child, we are still a child. So if I can be recognized in South Sudan and be invited to attend the Global Entrepreneur Summit, it means that South Sudan is recognized globally. So, which means that we in South Sudan, as young people, we should not ignore ourselves and look into ourselves as that we are still young, either we are a young nation or we don't have enough skills that can take us to be recognized globally.
Muntu and Deng both say that the challenges facing entrepreneurs in South Sudan have been added to by insecurity caused by 19 months of conflict. Deng says it is the responsibility of the government to create a conducive business environment. To do that, he says,
there should be peace in place. peace is priority. Once peace is achieved, focus should be the private sector development. And once there is private sector development, there will be entrepreneurship support in different levels, which I call SME support here in South Sudan. And from there, we will be having a sustainable economic development.
Most South Sudanese businesses are small and medium-sized enterprises, or SMEs. Deng says SMEs are the right way to go in the young country because they do not require a large capital injection. Deng says most big businesses in South Sudan are foreign-owned, but he hopes South Sudanese businesses will one day dominate the landscape. To help make that vision a reality, Deng and Muntu are on their way to Nairobi to represent South Sudanese business on the global stage. The two businessmen hope to bring home experiences and skill that will help to transform the economy of South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleu in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of our today's recap of top stories with Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. The team referred to as IGAD Plus is organizing another round of peace talks in Addis Ababa aimed at ending 19 months of fighting in South Sudan. The United States, Norway, the United Kingdom, the United Nations, the European Union, the African Union, China, and five African countries all make up IGAD Plus. IGAD Plus held its first meeting today on the peace process. A spokesman for the government said that the talks and the government will not sign any new draft agreement if it contains new language they don't agree with, such as allowing two armies to coexist during a transition period, something the rebels have been pushing for. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta says security and trade will top the agenda during U.S. President Barack Obama's visit to the country this week. In an address to the nation, the Kenyan president sidestepped such controversial issues as corruption, gay rights, and violence, including international criminal court charges against his deputy. Speaking from the State House in Nairobi this week, President Kenyatta said security and investment go hand in hand, and both will be discussed during Mr. Obama's visit. And finally, South Sudan will be represented at the Global Summit. The two South Sudanese businessmen are attending that summit, and participants say they hope to learn how to shift the country's economy from one that is driven by the government and fueled by oil to a private sector-led economy. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
And that's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Sudanese Girl by Joseph Mayanja and Freedom Boys.
Keys Records. Hey, yo, yo. Freedom Boys!
Don't die, you'll take a million Freedom Boys. Don't die, you'll take a million Freedom Boys.
Lamba dam bam bam, Freedom Boys coming like combination. Lamba dam bam bam, Sudan, Sudan, Uganda, rock the nation. Yagala Uganda girl, dem bangu de yala yala ira talim de kao.
Sudanese girl, in Tumsai.
Nampena wangu, ata niki kosa mali ya nani biki ya banana.
Adil tagi, hilo futu, lagagi, anadi ide.
Njaga la Uganda girl, nemba mkude yala yala ila tarinde kao.
Sudanese girl, intumsei, jemili, wahilu.
Nampena wangu, ata niki kosa mali ya nani biki ya banana.
Adil tagi, hilo futu, lagagi, anadi ide.
Jemu na matila mkwano, kukoto kusejiko wejaga la mkuo mkwano na kumano. Vitore, Siriba, Katinyogeza Mazima, Otalite Wavera Nanjuna, Otabula Tabula Tabula, Mukame Sana Zange, Yasiya Nukula Sembira Wano, Matila Matila Matila, Pasingira Wablunya, Tarinyusa Sembira Wano, Otabula Tabula Tabula, Mukame Sana Zange, Yasiya Nukula Sembira Wano, Natuko Mwagara, Bare Mwagara, Nyangware Mwagara, Mr. Yala Yuganda Girl, Nembangu De Yala Yala Ila Talinde Kao,
Sudanese Girl, Intumsei, Jemili,
Anani biki ya banana
Adil tagi, hilo futu, lagagi, anadi ide.
Njagala Uganda.
We have been listening to Jose Chameleon and Freedom Boys with the song Sudanese Girl. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and cars. Please join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Asa kabibi.